The second lesson, it continues the reading from 1 Corinthians that we began last week. And I mentioned in that Paul has got some hard things to say to the people of Corinth. And he kind of starts into that here. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there were quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this holy word. Amen. This is one of the sermons that it started out, I thought I was going to go in one direction, but I ended up going in a different direction. One of the things that troubles me in our world is the factions within the Christian community. I'm not talking about denominationalism per se, because denominationalism seems very natural to me in a way. My American history professor, church history professor in seminary said, look, we don't all like the same music. We don't all like the same food. We don't all like the same, you know, kind of amount of ritual or not ritual. And so denominations are perfectly natural as people seek to find ways to worship God that fit with them. That fit with them. I mean, I've been in churches, visiting churches, probably some of you have too, where I felt like I was very, very much stranger. I just couldn't follow what was going on, and you know, and they would it was different, okay? I'll tell you one story. When I was in seminary, we had, on two different weekends, we had to attend services in an African-American Baptist church, and then in a suburban, basically white Baptist church. And the same God, same Christ, different styles. My oldest son, Jeff, went with me to the African-American church in downtown Rochester, New York. And we got there, you know, because the service was at 10. And we got there about 10 of, so we could get in and get to see. Well, at 10 of, the doors were closed, and there were people milling around all about. And you could hear the choir inside practicing and everything. And it got to be 5 of, and then it got to be 10 o'clock, and then it got to be 5 after. And then about 10 after, somebody opened the doors. And there had been some people inside sitting and doing whatever. And then the Bible study folks came from upstairs, and they came down. And then the service started. And people kept kind of strolling in. And the deacons all sat up front, right across the front of the place. And they had the deacon's prayer, among other things. Anyway. And then after a while, the preacher got up, and he was a guest preacher, So right after he finished, they passed the basket to get him something for his trouble. Yeah, that was, so it was, again, just completely different. And about 12 o'clock, we had to leave, Jeff and I, because we had somewhere else to be, but they were still in worship. And then they were going downstairs for lunch. And then they were going to come back upstairs. It was clear that for those folks, there was nothing more important at that time than worshiping God, giving God their all, as we say in the song. The Greece Baptist Church started on the nickel of time. Everything was in order. Everything was in place. And the service was over at exactly 1 hour so that they could go to the second hour program on Zimbabwe. Okay? Just everything was very planned. Like I try to make it here. Never quite make it, but you know, you try to do it. So denominationals, and you know, and you've been to more liturgical churches, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Catholic, and it's just a different feel and a different style. But basically it's one God. But then I read the news, and I watch the news, and I follow a few things online, and I get the feeling that some of these folks are serving a different God. You know, we used to think when Billy Graham had his revivals, you know, people would walk up the aisle and accept Christ, and I always thought that was the kind of the end point, you know, and I think some people still do, but it's not. It's like graduation or getting your first job or something like that. It's the beginning of something, because Christ keeps calling to us. Christ keeps calling to us. And Christ calls to people, and I don't impute any ill will to anyone, but when I hear the president of a conservative Christian college get up and call for the student body to arm themselves so as to be ready to shoot interlopers if it need be, I say, whose Christ is that calling him? Whose Christ is that? I made my allegiance to Christ, but that's not the Christ that I follow. I heard some months ago, I saw there was a preacher who read the Beatitudes in a service and then said, this doesn't make any sense for us today, and so we're going to put them aside. Christ calls us to that kind of an understanding of his ministry and ours. Christ calls us to make those, hard as they may be, counterintuitive as they may be in our world today, Christ calls us to do it. And I will choose Christ. The choosing has been going on for years. In Deuteronomy, God's, you know, Moses says to the people, choose life. Choose to follow God. In Joshua, now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for us, we need to choose Christ. We need to hear the call of Christ who calls us to reach out to folks who can't take care of themselves, folks who have lost everything, for people who are marginalized. I don't like to admit it, but along the way, I didn't think I was, but I was pretty much of a racist, you know? When I went to a high school that had about 30% African American, which isn't what we called them in those days, but people, and we stayed away. It was like they were over there in that building, in that part of the thing, and we were over here, and never the twain should meet. And then as I grew up, I got to thinking that, oh, well, if the opportunity had been there, I would have done that. And then I went to seminary, and I heard Christ's call to reach out to everybody, that everybody is God's child. And I'd like to say that it was like a switch, right? And that all of a sudden I viewed it all differently until the day that I was taking some excess food from Easton Church over to a shelter in Bridgeport. And as I'm driving over there, just me with about 10 gallons of milk and some cold cuts and stuff in the back of the car, I turned and here was a bodega on the corner. And about 25 Latino and African-American men, young men, around the outside. And I have to say, I tensed up. And I said, Jerry, that means you haven't let go of this. You haven't let go of this. You're not choosing Christ. You're choosing fear. A follow-on to that, I mentioned that in the church service a couple weeks later. And on the way out, one of the parishioners who was a bailiff in one of the courts in Bridgeport, he said to me, I wouldn't go over there, and I'm an officer of the court. And I said, if I were an officer of the court, I might not go over there either. But, and I didn't say it, but I wish I had, but I choose Christ, who says that we have to feed those people and we have to honor the presence and the personhood of these others. That's what we're called to do. When I was working at Xerox, Xerox was very advanced in terms of having women in responsible positions. And I have to say, there was a lot of, you know, those jokes that aren't really jokes, you know, the things that have an edge. There was a lot of that went on. And I suspect that I probably was part of it at some point. Not proud of that, not now, for sure. But it didn't really hit me until later when I started into seminary and started really reading about what God wants, what Jesus calls us to do, what Christ calls us to do. And I realized that Christ wants us, everybody is equal. And everybody deserves everything that everybody else gets. Pretty simple. Hundreds of thousands of people were out this weekend to try to make that point. I don't, you know, people say, well, you're just being politically correct. No, I'm not being politically correct. Any political correctness is completely incidental. I believe those things because I have chosen Christ. I have chosen to follow in the way of the Christ of the Gospels. Not a Christ who promises us all kinds of wonderful things. I remember on TV many years ago, Frederick K.C. Price was an evangelist on TV, and he would say, see this Rolex? I got this after I became a Christian because God was good to me. He says, and I've got a Cadillac out there. Not my Christ. If you got a Rolex and a Cadillac, fine. More power to you. But it's more what you do with your heart and with the rest of you that I think is important to Christ. I've heard preachers of late supporting division, violence even. And I hear Christ's call to peace and reconciliation and unity and love, loving everyone. I will choose love. I will choose Christ. Sadly, people who come to Christ and who find these other ways, I don't know what the issues were with Apollos or Cephas or Paul, who find these other ways, I think that mostly it's because of fear. It's because we're afraid that we are going to be losing out to someone else. The United Church of Christ has a mission in Mississippi called the Biloxi Back Bay Mission. And they've served the poor in the fishing industry, particularly in Biloxi, but you know, a multi-service mission. There are no UCC churches in Mississippi. And yet the UCC has this mission in Mississippi. And they were struggling. They used to come north. I'm going to check and see if they still... They used to come north and do shrimp boils as a fundraiser. Okay, I see some nods. It's a lot of fun and good shrimp. But their big issue was that the Vietnamese immigrants who had come into the area had started working, had started shrimping and fishing. And you know what? They were successful. They worked harder and longer than anyone else. But it was fear on the part of the folks who had been there all along, fear that they were going to lose out because of these people. And so there was this anti-immigrant movement even then. But what is the one thing that casts out fear? Love casts out fear. I will choose Christ. I will choose Christ's love. And love of Christ led him to the cross. And as Paul said, the cross, my message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In one place and another place, he says, you've got to pick up your cross and carry it. So there. It's a both and, friends. But I urge you, and not just because of the great song we just sang. The theme actually came first. And then they found that wonderful, they have worked up that wonderful song. I urge you, today and tomorrow and the day after, to choose Christ. Choose the Christ that you know from the Gospels, not the Christ that's the popular or unpopular thing that's going around. It's not a matter of which way the wind blows. It's a matter of love. Amen. Oh, I have one more thing I wanted to read to close. This is from John Ortberg, who is a conservative Christian writer and author, and he's the pastor of a large Presbyterian church in California. He says, some people would rather debate doctrine or beliefs or tradition or interpretation than actually do what Jesus said. It's not rocket science. Just go do it. Practice loving a difficult person or try forgiving someone. Give away some money. Tell someone thank you. Encourage a friend. Bless an enemy. Say, I'm sorry. Worship God. You already know more than you need to know.